Alice woke up on the couch. She'd been napping a lot lately, sometimes twice a day. While her attention and energy benefited greatly from the extra rest, re-entry into the day was jarring. She looked at the clock on the wall. 4:15. She couldn't remember what time she had dozed off. She remembered eating lunch. A sandwich, some kind of sandwich with John. That was probably around noon. The corner of something hard pressed into her hip. The book she'd been reading. She must have fallen asleep while reading. 4:20. Lydia's rehearsal ran until 7. She sat up and listened. She could hear the seagulls squawking at Harding's and imagined their scavenger hunt, a mad race to find and devour every last crumb left behind by those careless, sunburned humans. She stood up and set out on her own hunt, less frenzied than the gulls, for John. She checked their bedroom and study. She looked out into the driveway. No car. Just about to curse him for not leaving a note, she found it under a magnet on the refrigerator door. Allie, went for a drive. Be back soon. John. She sat back down on the couch and picked up her book, Sense and Sensibility, by Jane Austen, but didn't open it. She didn't really want to be reading it now. She'd been about halfway through Moby Dick and lost it. She and John had turned the house upside down without success. They'd even looked in every peculiar spot that only a demented person would place a book. The refrigerator and freezer, the pantry, their dresser drawers, the linen closet, the fireplace. But neither of them could find it. She'd probably left it at the beach. She hoped she'd left it at the beach. That was at least something she would have done before Alzheimer's. John had offered to pick her up another copy. Maybe he'd gone to the bookstore. She hoped he had. If she waited much longer, she'd forget what she'd already read and have to start over. All that work. Just the thought of it made her tired again. In the meantime, she had started Jane Austen, whom she'd always liked, but this one wasn't holding her attention. She wandered upstairs to Lydia's bedroom. Of her three children, she knew Lydia the least. On the top of her dresser, turquoise and silver rings, a leather necklace, and a colorfully beaded one spilled over an open cardboard box. Next to the box sat a pile of hair clips and a tray for burning incense. Lydia was a bit of a hippie. Her clothes lay all over the floor, some folded, most not. There couldn't have been much of anything actually in her dresser drawers. She'd left her bed unmade. Lydia was a bit of a slob. Books of poetry and plays lined the shelves of her bookcase. Night Mother, Dinner with Friends, Proof, A Delicate Balance, Spoon River Anthology, Agnes of God, Angels in America, Oleana. Lydia was an actress. She picked up several of the plays and flipped through them. They were each only about 80 to 90 pages, and each of those pages was only sparsely filled with text. Maybe it'd be easier and more satisfying to read plays, and I could talk about them with Lydia. She held on to Proof. Lydia's journal, iPod, Sanford Meisner on acting, and a framed picture sat on her nightstand. Alice picked up the journal. She hesitated, but barely. She didn't have the luxury of time. Sitting on the bed, she read page after page of her daughter's dreams and confessions. She read about blocks and breakthroughs in acting classes, fears and hopes surrounding auditions, disappointments and joys over castings. She read about a young woman's passion and tenacity. She read about Malcolm. While they were acting in a dramatic scene together in class, Lydia had fallen in love with him. She'd thought she might be pregnant once, but wasn't. She was relieved, not ready yet to get married or have children. She wanted to find her own way in the world first. Alice studied the framed photograph of Lydia and a man, presumably Malcolm. Their smiling faces touched. They were happy, the man and woman in the picture. Lydia was a woman. "Allie, are you here?" called John. "I'm upstairs." She returned the journal and picture to the nightstand and stole downstairs. "Where'd you go?" Alice asked. I went for a drive. He held two white plastic bags, one in each hand. Did you buy me a new copy of Moby Dick? Sort of. He handed Alice one of the bags. It was filled with DVDs. Moby Dick with Gregory Peck and Orson Welles. King Lear with Laurence Olivier. Casablanca, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and The Sound of Music, her all-time favorite. I was thinking these might be a lot easier for you, and we can do this together. She smiled. What's in the other bag? She felt giddy, like a little kid on Christmas morning. He pulled out a package of microwave popcorn and a box of Milk Duds. Can we watch The Sound of Music first? She asked. Sure. I love you, John. She threw her arms around him. I love you too, Allie. With her hands high on his back, she pressed her face against his chest and breathed him in. She wanted to say more to him about what he meant to her, but she couldn't find the words. He held her a little tighter. He knew. They stood still in the kitchen holding on to each other without uttering a word for a long time. Here, you nuke the popcorn and I'll put the movie in and meet you on the couch, said John. Okay. She walked over to the microwave, opened the door, and laughed. She had to laugh. I found Moby Dick.